If you take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. This scripture came to my mind here as I was reading this in verse 4. It says, "And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full." Your joy, the joy of the gospel, that your joy may be full. If you remember in Psalm 51, when David was convicted of his sin, you remember he asked God, "Don't cast me off. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Restore unto me the joy. This tells us very plainly that believers may never lose. We know this. We can never lose this salvation that God has bestowed upon us. This salvation was purposed of God, accomplished by Christ, given to us by the power of the Spirit, and we are kept by the power of the Spirit. We cannot lose this salvation. But I'll tell you, we lose our joy of it. We lose our joy. We hear this gospel constantly. And I'll tell you, you listen long enough and our hearts can wax cold, indifferent, and the joy could be taken away. And salvation itself is not taken away, but the joy of it is. And John is writing these things, and this is his purpose. You're going to see this. He has a purpose for writing these things. That your joy may be full. And that's my purpose this morning. I long, as I preach the Word to you, as you hear these things, may the Spirit of God restore the joy of your salvation. And so John here, he begins this epistle the same way he begins his gospel. He says, "That which was from the beginning we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, the Word of life." He first of all lays forth the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is foundational in the gospel message. If Christ were not God, there would be no salvation, there'd be no righteousness. If Christ were not man, there would be no redemption. God cannot die. Redemption, the price of redemption was death. Therefore, He must be God and man. It is foundational. And this is what John is, throughout his both his gospel and his epistle, declares to us, that this one is God. He said, "That which was from the beginning." Who is that but God? Who was from the beginning but God? The one is to be proclaimed here is none other than the eternal God and Creator of all things. What do the first words of the Bible tell us? In the beginning, God. This is the one John is speaking about, God. Before there was anything, there was God. In the triune God, perfect and content in Himself, the self-existent One who had no beginning or no end. And listen, John declares something astounding here. That which was from the beginning was made flesh. That which was from the beginning, John said, look, I've seen Him. I heard Him. And much more than that, I touched Him. I touched Him. This is what John says about Him and His gospel. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, what? Was God. And just in case you are confused about when He uses that word, Word, right? You get theologians and they try to discombobulate that. All He means is that's the Son of God. In the beginning was the Son of God. The Son of God was with the Father, and the Son of God is God. And we know this because in verse 14 of chapter 1 in John, we read this. And the Word was made flesh. Now you know who it is. It's Jesus. That's the one that was made flesh. And He said, and He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So then, who is John speaking about here? That which was in the beginning, which we heard, which we touched. That's Jesus. That is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. And He was made flesh. He dwelt among us. This is the one that we as believers have come to worship and praise and adore. This is the one that was made flesh, that condescended to dwell among us that we might have life. We might have salvation. Paul says this in Philippians 2, who being in the form of God. The word form just means nature. Who being in the very nature of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But made of Himself no reputation, and took upon Him the nature of a servant. And being found in the likeness of men, and being, He was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. And two things. He became obedient. As a man, He was subject to the law of God. And He became obedient to the very law that He gave as a man. Now, He did that so that He might obtain righteousness. Without obedience, there is no righteousness. He was made flesh that He might by His obedience obtain righteousness unto death. That's the second thing, redemption. He was made a man so that He might obtain both righteousness and redemption. How? By the death of the cross. By the death of the cross, He satisfied the justice of God forever. This man, Jesus Christ, He who is God, humbled Himself and took upon Him the form of a man, the nature of a man. Now, why would He do that? To be a high priest. Now, listen, if He obtained righteousness and redemption, He didn't do it for Himself. He needed neither righteousness nor redemption. But He obtained righteousness and redemption as a high priest. And what is the purpose of a high priest? It is to mediate between God and His people. The high priest of the Old Testament did not represent Moab. It did not represent Egypt. He represented Israel. Even so, Jesus Christ, coming in the flesh, represented His people. And as He lived and died, He did it for them as a high priest. So Paul says, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. You see, He did something. Isn't this glorious? He came, and this is the one John declares. He spent His whole life that He might destroy death, being a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. That's what a priest's business is, things pertaining to God. I know this, that Christ became a man and He is able to understand our sorrows. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And that's good. As a high priest, we need that. But He did much more than that. As our high priest, He actually obtained everything we needed to make us acceptable to God. That's what a high priest does. Makes the people acceptable. He offers a sacrifice for their sins. And by that sacrifice, the people are cleansed. The people are saved. This was the message then given. The message of the apostles then was given by this Son of God. The Son of God. The message that they declared. Look at verse 3. He said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you for this purpose, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now listen, this is the only message worth declaring because it's the only message that brings men into fellowship with God. It is the only message. The message that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, declared to His apostles is the only message by which men may have true, enduring fellowship with God. The message of the gospel of Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh, is the only message worth declaring. Any other message has no value. No eternal value. Listen, we could talk about all your problems. We could sit and lay out my problems and your problems, and we could talk about it and how to solve them. What good is that if you lose your own soul? What good is all of that if you solve all your earthly problems? And then this is the greatest issue, is not dealt with. This is why we declare Christ. This is why we declare His message. It's the only one of value. It's the only one that saves. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And so how does this message go out? It only goes out by God's only chosen means. Preaching. Preaching. Look at verse 20. Paul says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You got that? You intellectual people who sit around all day long discussing the Bible, and they can try to reason with each other. You know what you get? You're going to get a fight eventually. You're going to get division because somebody's going to have another opinion, and this opinion and that opinion. Who cares about your opinion? I don't want to sit around and discuss opinions. My opinion is just as worthless as yours. The only thing I want to hear is, thus saith the Lord. That's it. And God says, you're not going to know God by wisdom. We were discussing this. A lady was coming up to me and she was telling me how their church evangelizes and so forth. And so they get together and they read a passage of Scripture, and they have lost people come in. They'll give them a passage of Scripture and they'll tell them, go read it. And they'll come back and discuss it. Look, I ain't going to discuss anything with you. I'm just going to tell you. And whether you like it or not, I don't know. And truly, it's not my job. I can't make this word effectual to you. I can only declare it to you. So you're not going to say get saved by reasoning, earthly logic and wisdom. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now listen, preaching's not foolish. It's not foolish. It's just how men perceive it. They don't understand why you want to be here and give your time, energy, and money to a thing of hearing one message over and over and over again. They get bored to tears hearing this. They think you're a fool. Let them. God said it. He said, by the foolishness, what you call foolishness is how God saves. By the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Jews require a sign. Greeks seek after wisdom. How many people want miracles or signs or wonders? Or how do you know if you're saved? Well, you got to do this and stop doing this. Well, they want a sign. They want a sign. No, this is by faith. Greeks seek after wisdom, philosophy, reason. But this is what we do. We do what John did. We preach Christ, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. The Jews are stumbling block, Greeks foolishness, but to them that are called, have you been called? What is it to be called? It is to be born again of the Spirit of God. It is to have your eyes and understanding open by the power of God to see. To them who are called, Jews and Greeks, what do we know? We know this, Christ. That's what we know. Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. That's what we know. So we don't ever get tired of hearing this. It's our food. You get tired of eating? I tell you this, this is my spiritual food. I need this more than earthly food. I need it. It refreshes me. It comforts me. I know it is the power of God. Therefore, this is the only message that true believers desire to hear. It's the only message that feeds our souls, as well as the only message that saves the lost. That's it. Pretty narrow, isn't it? Yep. Well, how can you be so dogmatic? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. I don't know other than that. That's all I really need. It pleased God. So why is John spending all this time saying this? This is the message that we declare unto you. What he said is what we say. That's what we declare. And I like that word, declare. Not discuss. We just tell you. You know, we hit sower in the seed. I think about that when I'm preaching. You know, you just take the seed and you just throw it. Where it lands, I cannot tell. How it is received, I cannot tell. But that's all I do. Knowing God will do what He pleases with it. That's what He'll do when we declare this word. Now, this gospel that we declare, what is it? What is this message that John declared? Look at verse 4, back at your text. So he discusses the person of Christ, and He's the one that gave Him the message, and this is the message we declare to you. Look at verse 4. And these things we write in... I'm sorry. This is the purpose of this message. That every believer, everyone who believes, that they might have fullness of joy. Verse 4. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. I believe you ask everybody, do you want joy? Kind of a rhetorical question, isn't it? The world wants joy. Man's heart is like a black hole by nature. It sucks in everything and is nothing. It is filled by nothing. Black hole can suck in the universe and it still would be empty. It's what man is. He takes in all the joys of this earth, all of the desires of his flesh, and still cannot find joy. Not lasting joy. And so if you're here today without joy, it's because of this. You're lost. You're lost in your sins. I know you've tried to fill the emptiness of your heart with the pleasures of this world, but I know this, you've not been successful. No one has. This then is the message of hope. This is the only message that will cause the empty heart of sorrow to be filled with joy. Why? Because this is a message of eternal life. It is a message of peace with God. It is a message of salvation. Look at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you. And what's the first thing that He declares? Receive the message of Christ from the Son of God. He's desired to declare it unto you for the purpose of joy. Well, what's the message, John? Tell me the message. Here it is. God is light, and in Him is no darkness. What's those last two words? At all. At all. The gospel message always and ends begins and ends with God. Now, the religion of man begins with you and ends with God. But I'll tell you, God's message begins with Him and it ends with Him. God is light. Now, this fact of God being light reveals several things about the character of God. First of all, I want you to see it reveals this, that God is holy. Holy. When He says He is light and in Him is no darkness at all, He is talking about sin. He is talking about an immutable, unchangeable, holy God. This is the message we declare unto you, that God is holy. He is a purer eyes, Habakkuk says, than to behold evil. When His angels worship Him, they must cover their face and their feet and cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And they do this day and night without ceasing. He is holy. And this is the God that all men must give an account to. God is light. He is holy. In Revelation, it tells us that He saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books. Listen, according to their works. You see, God is light. And He must judge men based on their work. God, being holy, must judge according to His character, His nature. He must judge all transgression against Him. And the natural man does not like this. They will not receive that God is holy. They love a loving God, but they have nothing to do with a God that's holy. They want a God that loves them and accepts their sin. But they despise a God who will judge them according to their works. Listen to what God says. Now, God is a merciful, loving God. But at the same time, God reveals Himself to be just. He says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression of sin, and will by no means clear the guilty. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Our God, the Scripture says, is as a consuming fire. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6 that He is He who hath immortality and dwelleth in light that no man can approach unto. Martin Luther said this, "I will have nothing to do with an absolute God." Now, what he meant by that was, "I'll have nothing to do with an absolute God in my own righteousness. I desire not to stand before God in my own righteousness, because God is holy. He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Now listen, if you go out into eternity in your own righteousness, listen, God will judge you and condemn you. That's just so. Why? Because He is light and He can have no fellowship with darkness. Can light have fellowship with darkness? Is that possible that they coexist? Light and darkness? No. Not a light that there is no darkness. See, we have lights. There's darkness all around in here. Why? Because this is not perfect light. Perfect light cannot have any darkness at all. It cannot receive any darkness. Otherwise, it's not perfect light. You see, God, being holy, cannot have fellowship with darkness. That's the second point. All that walk in darkness have no fellowship with the light. Look at verse 6. He said, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, what? We lie and do not the truth. If a man profess to have fellowship with God but walks in spiritual darkness, he does not know the truth. My friend, all men are born in spiritual darkness. That's how we were born. You and I were born what the Scripture calls dead. Can you get any darker than dead? When I close my eyes, I can still see the flashes of light behind. When you're dead, there's nothing. It is darkness. That's how we were born, in darkness. Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. And if you're without Christ today, you are dead. You're in darkness. How do you know a religious man's in darkness? Because they're pretty moral people. How do you know a religious man's in darkness? Listen, he is going about to establish his own righteousness. That's how you know a man is walking in darkness. He's walking in ignorance, thinking he can somehow make himself acceptable to God. Somebody sent me a little message. How do you get to heaven? And he said, man, you know, God justifies you. You're justified. God's 100% for you. But now that you're in this place, now you've got to pursue holiness. You can't get into heaven with just justification. What a moron. That man is going about to establish his own righteousness. Somebody put it this way. They believe the doctrines of the everlasting Father's love, having chosen the church, the Son of God's redeeming love, working salvation by His blood and righteousness. They believe the Spirit of God in regenerating mercy for the entrance in the kingdom of heaven, but they consider these only part means. Well, you got to have that, but that's just part of it. You got to finish the rest. And they're sincere about this, friends. They're very sincere. Very zealous. That man must do something to make it effectual so that they can have fellowship with God. If you're resting in Christ plus something you've done, then you are a liar and the truth is not in you. You have tainted, you have defiled the sacrifice of Christ by putting your hand to it. So God is light, He is holy, and to have fellowship with Him, listen, you must be as holy as God is. That's what it's telling us. This is the message that He is declaring to us. God is light, and if you're going to have fellowship with Him, you cannot have any darkness at all. And if you say you do, you're a liar. I like John. He's very blunt. He don't have time. His books are very small. He don't have time to beat around the bush. He just tells you how it is. And thirdly, he says, herein is your joy filled, full, that if you walk in the light, you do have fellowship. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all our sins. If we walk in the light, listen, as He is in the light. Now, how is He in the light? How is God, who is light, in the light? You see, the only way to have fellowship with Him is to be just like Him. To have no darkness at all. You must be made holy or you have no fellowship. Listen, there is no such thing as partial holiness. That's like saying there's partial light. There is no such thing as in the presence of God as partial light. And so to walk in this light, to be in fellowship with Him, you must be as He is. And this is good news. Because we are who believers in Christ. This is your joy. As He is, so are you in this present world. Friends, you're not waiting to be holy. You're not waiting to be light. If you are in Christ, if you are a believer in Christ, you are made light. That's why He calls you children of light. Children of light. So who are they that walk in the light? They that believe on Jesus Christ alone. Those who walk in the light, it is to walk with God. How is it that a man who is a sinner, born in darkness, then a hater of God, who can have no fellowship with God, how is it that he be made light? Listen, only through the blood and righteousness of Christ. Only if he is cleansed from all his sin can he made to be have fellowship with God. It's the only way you can do it. The only way you can have fellowship with God is that your sins be removed. Cleansed. Cleansed. To walk in the light is not a natural thing, but is a supernatural act of the Spirit to enlighten you, to raise the sinner from the dead. Paul says, Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He's going to give you the light you need to have fellowship with God who is light. He's going to give you that. Is that not joy, to know that you are light? That you have fellowship with God who is holy. Remember that man that was born blind? How happy was he the day he got his sight? Do you suppose he had some joy? That he could see? Consider, believer, what you see. Consider what you see that everyone else can't see. Do you see your sin? Not everybody can see that. Do you see your need of Christ? Do you see that He has fulfilled all that you need? Have you received Him by faith? As many as received Him, to them gave He the right to be called the sons of God, which were born not of the will of the blood, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You were born of God. This is our joy, that we understand that Christ is the only way to God. I am the way. You believe that? You think there's another way? Friends, I don't want another way. I want Him. You believe He's the truth? I say this, let God be true and every man a liar. He says, I am the life. Is He the life? Is He the giver of life? The sustainer of life? Yeah. No man comes to the Father but by me. You believe that? I do. He is the author of all spiritual life. He is the only way. How is it then that a sinner could approach unto God? It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is because He is our righteousness and our redemption. Paul says in Romans 3, but now the righteousness of God without the law. Does that make you happy? Is that not... give you a joy in your heart that righteousness of God without the law. Totally devoid of your obedience to the law. That's what I need. I need righteousness without the law. Listen. Which is manifest. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God. How is this righteousness made without the law? Without my work? Without my merit? The righteousness of God, which is of the faith of Christ. By the faith of Christ. That's how my righteousness was made. It's not a cooperative effort. Aren't you glad about that? It's not a cooperative effort. It's something He did all by Himself for me. And then He says this, righteousness of God which is by the faith of Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. This righteousness that He made is both charged to my account and imparted to me. Remember, you pray. Do you pray to God? Are you heard? Now, how are you heard except you be righteous? You can't. God is light, and in Him dwelleth no darkness at all. You can't approach unto God unless you are light, unless you are holy. And see, He has made us holy. He's given us a holy nature. That righteousness is now mine. It's mine. Let this be the joy that fills your heart. That you and I will never stand before God in our own righteousness, but only in the righteousness of Christ. He, by a sovereign act of free grace, has charged this and imputed this to us, imparted this to us. If you are a believer in Christ, and I declare unto you again and again that you are right now acceptable. Oh, but you don't know what I've done. Oh, yes, He does. And He's already taken it to account and paid for it before you did it. Isn't that gracious? Isn't that merciful? Paul says in Ephesians 4:24, he says that you put on the new man. That makes me happy. Because I'm not what I was. I have a new man. And listen, this new man which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, John can declare this. Go to 1 John. Go to 1 John chapter 5. Look what John is saying here. This has to do with that fellowship that he's talking about. How can you have fellowship if you're in darkness? You can't. You've got to be made light. You've got to be made holy. Look at what he says. 1 John 5 and verse 18. Now we know that whosoever is born of God, what? Sinneth not. Are you born of God? He is born of God, sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. I tell you what, in your experience, can you say that? That you have not sinned? Wait a second. Go back to John, 1 John 1. Look at this. In verse 8. Look at this. He said this. Oh, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Wait a second, John. How can you reconcile that? If I'm born of God and I sin not, but yet you're telling me if I confess that I don't have any sin, then I'm a liar. You make God a liar. He's telling us this. that which is born of God sinneth not. That which is born of God. When you are born again of the Spirit of God, that sinneth not. The wicked one can't touch it. But that which is born of flesh is flesh, and it can do nothing but sin. This is why Paul said, put on the new man and put off the old man. Isn't that what you're always doing? By faith, we put on the new man. We acknowledge by faith what great things He has done for us. This brings joy that the old man cannot taint the new. Doesn't that bring you happiness that you cannot lose it? You cannot taint it? This is what God has done. And notice He says this. Look back at this. He says this. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us. From what? From all our sins. Now listen to me. When Jesus Christ died, you mark it down, He cleansed us of all our sins. He did. He put away our sins forever by the sacrifice of Himself. In Isaiah 44, He says this. Let's see, verse... Oh... See how I lost that? Isaiah 44:22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression, as a cloud thy sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed thee. You see, what the Son of God has come to do is redeem us, to cleanse us. He has blotted out as a thick cloud. In Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 20. This is what He says concerning us. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. The sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon them whom I have reserved. When God looks for my sin, He can't find it. Can you find your sin? Every day. Every day I see it. But I know this, that Jesus Christ, who has cleansed my sins, that word cleanseth is a present perfect tense. He means He has cleansed. He is right now cleansing us, and He will forever cleanse us of all our sins. His blood is an eternal, constant, perpetual cleansing of our sins. This is how a sinner may be able to walk in the light as he is in the light. Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all our sins. Now this is the reality of it. He does cleanse us from all our sins. But I don't feel it. How often have we said that? I feel the guilt. I feel the shame. John says, look, God has made you holy, but if you say you haven't sinned, then you're a liar. You're not really being honest. Truth's not in you. But this is what we have, that your joy may be full. Listen, if we confess our sins, He is two things, faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. That's a good thing, He's faithful. That means is without doubt He's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's faithful to do it. It's one thing if somebody can do something but won't. What if it was God could forgive us our sins, but you know, maybe He will, maybe He won't. No, if you're walking in the light as He is in the light, you believe on Christ, listen, He is faithful. He'll do it every time. I just don't think I've prayed hard enough. I don't think I've confessed. How often have you prayed and just not felt the deep contrition? What does that have to do with it? He's faithful. And He's faithful for one reason, because He's just to do it. God's mercy, God never has mercy at the expense of His justice. That's important. God never has mercy at the expense of His justice. But see, He can forgive me and still be just. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all our sin. When our Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, He said, "It is finished." Now then, is it? Is it finished? That your joy may be full. God is holy. God is light. We are darkness. But God, by His grace, has given us a new heart, a new nature, whereby we may walk in the light. Have fellowship with God. You understand that? You have fellowship with God. As you can go to God anytime, you have fellowship. You have peace with God. What can disrupt this peace? Now, a lot of things can disrupt the feeling of peace, but what really disrupts the peace? Nothing. Because Christ made our peace, didn't He? By His blood, He made peace with God. So nothing we do affects that peace. Does that bring you joy? That lighten the load a bit? It should. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I pray God will bless this to your heart. I've got more, but you know, time moves so fast when I'm up here. I know out there it probably doesn't move as fast, but it does for me. If you have fellowship with God, can you commune with God? Can you walk in the light of God's holiness and be accepted? Everyone who believes on Christ may have fellowship with us. For our fellowship is with God, the Father, and with His Son. And His blood cleanseth us from all our sins. And when we confess them, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Why do we say this? That your joy may be full. Oh, God, open our eyes to see this. What great things God has done. Marvelous things. Pray God would bless you.